This is Todd Sommerfeld. I'm a sales agronomist for CHS in Crookston, Minnesota. We are pleased to bring you the update from the Red River Farm Network, CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Wednesday, farm news on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Randy Conan. We'll also hear reports from Jamie Dickerman in Sioux Falls and Tyler Donaldson as well. We have, beginning with looking at weather, there's a line of rain showers stretching all the way out of Saskatchewan across diagonally across North Dakota and on into west central Minnesota here this afternoon. Mostly light, moving to the east southeast. And much of the Midwest received some much needed moisture in a series of snow systems that hit earlier this month. USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey says that moisture helps, but more is needed.
Those same storms that raised dust across the southern Great Plains were also responsible for some late season snow from the central Great Plains into the upper Midwest and eventually through the Great Lakes region. That moisture, especially as you move into the central Great Plains, Kansas, Nebraska, was much welcomed, and that's a great way to deliver some topsoil moisture. Unfortunately, though, it has warmed up very rapidly since that snow fell back in mid-March. So the snow is long gone. We've seen the snow retreat all the way back to the Canadian border at this point, but we have seen a little boost in the topsoil moisture, at least temporarily, in some of those snow-affected areas. The only bad news is the strips of snow were fairly narrow. It wasn't a widespread event, but in the areas that did get it, extending from northwest and north-central Kansas, even a little bit into southwest Kansas, then points northeast from there, have seen certainly the benefit.
The Central Plains Dairy Expo continues in Sioux Falls. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Jamie Dickerman is there.
Mark Newman from CIH with me right now, and Mark had just talked to a group of producers here, and one of the things you just talked about I want to get your take on is the tariff situation, because I want to talk about how much have we already seen, because of the uncertainty, how much have we already seen numbers change and how much they could possibly change depending on what's happening.
Yeah, I think the market's definitely already pricing that in. So, you know, mid-January, that's when we were seeing the highs on milk and the grains. I'll keep it to milk here. You know, we were at $19.50, even $20, and now you're seeing nearby Class 3 at $17. So, I mean, it's fallen $2 to $3 just from these tariffs. Now, this is just from the uncertainty, right? I mean, currently tariffs to Mexico and Canada are on a moratorium until April 2nd. So until we get further information, we'll probably just be sitting in this sideways pattern. The optimism, though, is if once these get alleviated, I think, you know, you could see a lot of upside and a return to these $19 to $20 prices in milk. So I know it's kind of annoying right now with what we're having to deal with, but hopefully moving forward here, these do get resolved. I'm sure the administration understands that, how important, you know, Mexico, Canada are to our dairy industry, and we'll see some better prices here into the future.
One other thing is, you know, protecting themselves, producers protecting themselves and looking ahead here. What are a lot of the producers working with you guys doing right now? What are they, what kind of moves are they making right now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely on the feed side, soybean meal has been really cheap. You know, really $300 meal is about as low as we've gotten historically, versus our upside right now. Our price risk is up to, you know, $420, $430, where we were just a few years ago. So a lot of guys, a lot of our clients have been booking their physical meal, whether that be canola or soybean meal. And then on the milk side, it's you know, having that margin improvement, right? Because we have fallen a little bit to begin this year. We are in a little bit of a seasonal lull. And so protecting with DRP or more flexible, you know, option positions is what we're kind of recommending to clients to have that margin improvement. That, you know, and in the corn side, excuse me, the corn, you know, we've been more also kind of staying open to price, buying calls, keeping that flexibility. That's really the name of the game right now with the seasonal lull with spring flush and kind of the lull in demand right now.
Mark, appreciate the time.
Great. Thank you so much. Nice meeting you.
Reporting from the Central Plains Dairy Expo in Sioux Falls, I'm Jamie Dickerman on the Red River Farm Network.
Minnesota Farm Bureau Federation President Dan Glessing testified before the Committee on Transportation and Infrastructure Subcommittee on Highways and Transit about the importance of trucking in Washington, D.C. this morning.
Developing practical solutions The success of American agriculture relies on a robust, safe, and dependable transportation system. The products we grow and raise must travel far beyond our farm gates to reach markets, processors, and consumers. That journey begins on rural roads and bridges, which serve as a critical first link in our transportation supply chain. That is why Congress needs to consider common sense solutions that address our supply chain shortfalls by streamlining the process for hiring truck drivers, expanding safe parking opportunities, increasing truck weights, and allowing easier transportation of commodities within a 150-mile radius for drivers under the age of 21.
Glessing talked about the need for continued funding to support the transportation infrastructure.
The American Farm Bureau continues to support the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act for its essential investments in our nation's infrastructure. These investments will help keep U.S. agriculture competitive in the global market, which is all the more essential when, for the first time in many of our lifetimes, the U.S. has become a net food importer. Ensuring that our farmers and ranchers have access to reliable transportation infrastructure is more critical now than ever. The National Highway Trust Fund is the backbone of our transportation infrastructure, providing crucial funding for the maintenance and improvement of roads and bridges in rural communities. However, the fund faces long-term sustainability challenges. Farm Bureau supports increasing Highway Trust Fund fees to reflect the advancements in fuel efficiency and rising inflation.
Syngenta Group is reporting full fiscal year 2024 sales of $28.8 billion. That's down 10% year over year. Syngenta says sales were impacted by adverse weather and a reduction of channel inventories in its crop protection markets. Sales were also reduced by weaker emerging market currencies. Sales during Syngenta Group's fiscal fourth quarter down 5% at $7.5 billion. Get the latest news and weather updates anytime by listening to the Red River Farm Network podcast. You can find those at rrfn.com and anywhere you get your podcast. This is the Red River Farm Network. Wednesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. The weekly report from the Energy Information Administration showing ethanol production for the week ending March 21st at 1.05 million barrels per day. That's down 52,000 barrels a day from the previous week. It's 1,000 barrels less than a year ago. Ethanol stocks up 800,000 barrels to 24.7 million barrels. Farmers throughout the U.S. might be planting more corn this season than previously thought. AgMarket.net co-founder Jim McCormick says the demand is there for more corn.
The USDA outlook for them was at 94 million. When we looked at the numbers, how we generate this data, we interviewed producers. We also talked to our cohorts over at John Stewart and Associates and what their commercials are seeing. We've also talked to a lot of seed sellers, and they're seeing this across the board. The demand for corn is ferocious. There's some genetics that in certain areas have actually run out because that demand's so strong, and hence that's why we think when it's all said and done on the 31st, they're going to come in at least at 95.39 million acres.
McCormick says there's potential for greater profit in corn than in soybeans.
When you look at the spring price of corn, it's a nickel above where it was a year ago, while beans are a dollar below a year ago. And the fact of the matter is, when you look at the current price of beans, no one's making money. The cost of money where it is, does it make a lot of sense to borrow a bunch of money to plant a crop that at this point you're almost guaranteed to not make money, where at least on the corn it feels like you got a fighting chance, or at least you are making some money? It may not be great, but the profitability is there. And those are why those dynamics say the corn acres are going to be up and bean acres are going to be down. 82.75 million acres is our bean numbers. And yes, that is down from 84 in the outlook form and down dramatically from this past year of 87.05.
HeartlandInvest.com CTA Eugene Grainer says the strength in the soybean market is coming from the bean oil market.
Soybean oil, courtesy, Venezuelan oil thing finds China buying any oil from Venezuela, another 25% tariff goes on top of their products of already 20% on. There was a 10 and a 10. Now 25 makes 45%. That means no used cooking oil from China coming into the United States. Well, it just won't be able to be afforded. And so that's supporting bean oil, giving beans a lift today. Corn, though, and wheat struggling. Of course, the headlines are that the Russian-Ukrainian war, peace is about to be at hand, at least a truce as far as the Black Sea region is.
Bauer trading analyst Ben Cash says the grain trade is quiet Strader's Mark Time now ahead of Monday's USDA reports.
You know, not too much going on, you know, end of the first quarter coming up too. So there's probably some repositioning, rebalancing going on in some of these, you know, row crop markets right now. But overall, the weather is kind of uneventful. We've seen some good rains over the weekend in the northern Brazil on the second crop corn area. Here in the Midwest, we got a pretty active precip across the Midwest, which will, you know, obviously benefit some of the winter wheat and, you know, some moisture levels there prior to corn and soybean planting.
Cattle markets, livestock in general, have been both sides here today. We're seeing both profit taking and some short covering.
Basically, buy the rumor, sell the fact. It seemed like going into that March cattle on feed report, you know, it's pretty much as expected. Seeing the placement numbers down has a lot to do with not seeing those Mexican feeder cattle imports here, you know, placed on our feedlot. So, you know, trade did a pretty decent job of pricing that in, it seems like, but kind of getting overbought, and I think you're seeing some profit taken into the end of the month and quarter here. Just a lot of risk exposure there in the cattle market, still a lot of uncertainty with the tariff situation and, you know, possible recession fear. So funds still hold a record net long there on the cattle. I think they're starting to pull back and, you know, take some profits there from the long side.
The Minnesota Retailers Association and the AgriGrowth Council have announced their opposition to the Consumer Grocery Pricing Fairness Act. That's a bill in the Minnesota legislature that promotes fairness in grocery pricing. It accomplishes that by restricting competitive pricing and requiring suppliers to disclose pricing contracts with large retailers. AgriGrowth saying the legislation would have huge impacts on Minnesota's food and agriculture industry. Go to the Red River Farm Network's website, rrfn.com. You can sign up for the weekly FarmNet News e-newsletter. You can also download this broadcast. Follow us on Facebook and X as well, all at rrfn.com. This is the Red River Farm Network. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Biologicals are the fastest growing product category in the crop protection business. CHS retail product specialist Andrew Schultz says the biological sector is being thoroughly investigated.
We've been approached by about 750 different companies that want to sell us biologicals and get a private label with us. So far, we've brought in three biological products to the market. So you can about imagine how saturated that market really gets. The biggest thing that we really look at is we want confidence from our growers in our products. We built a state-of-the-art greenhouse here recently in the last 2 years. Every product that's coming to market, we're really micromanaging the research part of it and vetting those products as much as possible.
Schultz says CHS has three goals when evaluating biostimulants. The product must be easy to use, cost-effective, and evaluated closely. When used correctly, these products can lay the foundation for the rest of the season.
We're looking at early season issues such as heat, drought, but we're also looking at the flip side when we start looking at cool weather conditions, or even in some areas, we're also thinking about how much moisture we're getting. So our biostimulants really helping us with that side of things, getting that seed up out of the ground and really getting it off to its best start. On the other side, I mentioned a few nutrients. Basically, what we're trying to do with the nutrient package is foster that early season seed vigor and improve that emergence.
Checking markets before we leave you this noon hour, we're seeing Minneapolis May wheat down 2.5 cents, 5.86. Chicago May wheat's down 6.75, and Kansas City May wheat is down 3 cents. May corn down 6.5 at 4.51 1/4. December corn's down 4.5 at 4.44 1/2. May soybeans down 0.75, 10.01. November soybeans up 0.5 at 10.07. In Winnipeg, May canola 8.50 a metric ton higher. April live cattle 67 higher at 2.07.05. June is up 70 cents at 2.03.02. April feeder cattle $1.30 higher at 286.15. May $1.22 higher at 285.35. April lean hogs are 75 cents higher at 87.40. May up 40 cents, 89.45. This is the Red River Farm Network.